Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, November 10th, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Hospital, COVID near endemic stage, by Stuart Doreen. On Monday, officials at the Midland County Courthouse announced a three-week postponement of a major trial because several people involved in the jury selection process tested positive for COVID-19. On Tuesday, Midland Health Chief Medical Officer Larry Wilson said smaller surges of activity, including when there are people congregating, will become something we should become accustomed to. We're moving away from the significant pandemic that we've been living in for 2 years now toward an endemic disease, one regularly found among particular people or in a certain area, that we're going to be living with in our world going forward, Wilson said during Midland Health's presser. On a more positive note for a pandemic-worn community, Wilson said the pops and surges are less likely to overwhelm hospitals like Midland Memorial. Interestingly, the most recent data from the Midland Health Department showed an increase in COVID cases last week, 147 to 220, after 9 straight weeks of declining weekly totals. Midland Health also showed a slight uptick in the positivity rate at its testing centers last week from 12.6% to 13.2%. Still, the number of COVID inpatients at Midland Memorial had fallen below 30 this week. The 29 inpatients included 20 with an active COVID status. A majority of those were age 60 and older. I suspect that an optimistic expectation is that we will not have any of those really significant pops and surges overwhelming hospitals to the extent that we've experienced over the last 2 years, because there is now so much natural immunity in the community as well as vaccinated people, Wilson said. It would have been nice if a year ago when we first got the vaccines and more people would have adopted the vaccine and we could have avoided this Delta surge to the extent that we did. But the reality is now we are finding that 6 months out from your vaccine, you may need another vaccine, and people aren't getting vaccinated. There's going to be populations of people that are going to be more vulnerable. Fortunately, whether vaccinated or if you've had a prior infection, it appears that especially if you're a healthy individual, that by and large you're going to do okay if you get sick. You're not going to have a really bad outcome. But the most vulnerable populations, those with underlying medical conditions and things that we've been talking about over the last year in longer, those people have to be really cognizant of this and stay boosted and vaccinated going forward, or we will see pops and surges and little congregate groups of people getting infected. And amongst those people, a certain percentage, especially the high-risk population, will get really, really sick and potentially die for this. And this is going to be our world going forward. This article is entitled, Trump Endorses Pfluger Again. Former President, Congressman Doing a Phenomenal Job, by Stuart Doreen. Former President Donald Trump is again showing his favor for Republican candidates in West Texas. Trump announced through his Save America Political Action Committee that he is endorsing San Angelo Republican August Pfluger for U.S. Congress. The endorsement comes one day before Pfluger is expected to hold a re-election campaign kickoff announcement in Midland at the Bush Convention Center. Pfluger's district includes San Angelo, Midland, and Odessa. Congressman August Pfluger is doing a phenomenal job of representing the people of Texas, Trump stated in his endorsement. An Air Force veteran, August strongly supports our military and vets, defends our country, and protects our Second Amendment. He fights to lower your taxes, secure our borders, and strengthen our economy. August has my complete and total endorsement. there are no other announced candidates for the congressional seat. The first day a person can sign to be on a primary ballot is Monday. As of early Tuesday evening, Pfluger had not commented on the former president's endorsement through a press release or on social media. Last year, Trump endorsed Pfluger during the Republican primary. This is the second Trump endorsement of a West Texas candidate in as many months. In October, Trump endorsed Midland's Kevin Sparks for Texas Senate. Kevin is a businessman, loves the people of Midland and West Texas, must win in order to protect our oil and gas workers, defend our southern border, our military and our vets, and fight for our America First policies, Trump wrote about Sparks. Kevin Sparks has my complete and total endorsement. This article is entitled Report, Area Tops Nation in Rent Drop by Stuart Doreen. No area of the country has been impacted more than Midland-Odessa since the start of the COVID pandemic when it comes to apartment rents. ApartmentList.com reported recently that Odessa and Midland were at the top of the list for rent declines since March 2020. Rents declined 29% in Odessa and 23% in Midland. Another oil patch community, Williston, North Dakota, showed a drop of 26%. The online apartment guide showed most of Texas and the nation with percentage increases since March 2020. Other areas with decreases included the Bay Area of California, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Washington, D.C. Across the state, some of the highest percentage increases since March 2020 included Waco, 32%, Tyler, 30%, and the Metroplex suburbs of Little Elm and McKinney, 27%. Across the West Texas region, ApartmentList.com showed increases of 18% in El Paso, 11% in Amarillo, 9% in both Lubbock and Abilene, and 2% in San Angelo. In its November rent report, ApartmentList showed the average rent in Midland dropped by 0.3% month over month and increased 2.7% year over year. Average rents were $714 for a one-bedroom and $872 for a two-bedroom. Odessa was home for the lowest rents of larger metropolitan areas in Texas, $497 for a one-bedroom and $681 for a two-bedroom. Two-bedroom rents across the region included $952 in Lubbock, $979 in Amarillo, $1,061 in San Angelo, $1,075 in El Paso, and $1,140 in Abilene. The highest rents across the state included $2,227 in Little Elm, $2,140 in Addison, $2,105 in Flower Mound, and $2,034 in the Colony, according to ApartmentList.com. All four of those cities are in the Metroplex area. This article is entitled Sibley After Dark Offers Family Fun. Sibley Nature Center held its family fun event Sibley After Dark on Saturday. The event was held in the Sibley Garden. Activities and community partners on site scheduled included Henry Crawford, a living history storyteller by the fire pit, Rusty the Singing Cowboy, the Petroleum Museum with Critters, the Astronomy Club with Telescopes, Phases of the Moon Activity, Light Trapping of Insects by museum scientist Michael Nitchell, Skins and Skulls Observation Table, and the Sibley Camera Club. The first Sibley After Dark was hosted in 2019 after the center hosted a fall festival several years prior. See more pictures from the event at MRT.com. Families experience Sibley After Dark. This is the local From the Front page. This article is entitled Midland Siblings Arrested for Assaulting Man by Caitlin Randall. Cruzito Ayala Molinar, 18, and his sister, Lisette Ann Ayala, 23, were arrested on Monday and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon for allegedly chasing and assaulting a man. According to arrest affidavits, Molinar and Ayala allegedly followed a man in their vehicles and repeatedly rammed into the victim's vehicle, causing one of the victim's tires to fall off. After the victim was able to pull into a Stripes gas station, Molinar began chasing the victim with a baseball bat and hitting his truck windows, the affidavit states. The victim told police he was in fear for his life, according to the arrest affidavit. Molinar and Ayala are currently being held at the Midland County Jail. Bond had not yet been set as of Tuesday afternoon. This article is entitled "Man Accused of Sexual Crimes Against Children" by Caitlin Randall. Saul Urias, 46, was arrested Sunday and charged with two counts of indecency with a child by sexual contact. According to an arrest affidavit, two children made outcries to law enforcement that Urias had sexually abused them. One of the girls allegedly told police that Urias began abusing her when she was 8 years old. Urias was previously convicted for indecency with a child in August 2011, according to Texas Department of Public Safety records. He was sentenced to 7 years of probation. Urias is currently being held at the Midland County Detention Center on $75,000 bond for each of the recent charges. This article is entitled "Authorities: Scammers Are Posing as MCSO Employees" from Staff Reports. The Midland County Sheriff's Office is warning citizens of scammers posing as MCSO employees. The Sheriff's Office has received complaints about scammers calling and representing themselves as MCSO employees. These scammers are known to change phone numbers and use local area codes, according to MCSO. Authorities advise that should you receive a call from a scammer, they should hang up, block the number, and never send money. This is the news page. This article is entitled "Poll: Majority of Texans Support COVID Protocols" by Bethany Irvine, the Texas Tribune. Majority of Texans support COVID-19 vaccine and mask mandates, UTTT poll says. Was first published by the Texas Tribune, a nonprofit, nonpartisan media organization that informs Texans and engages with them about public policy, politics, government, and statewide issues. Sign up for The Brief, our daily newsletter that keeps readers up to speed on the most essential Texas news. A majority of Texas voters support requiring masks at schools and indoor public places and allowing businesses to require their employees to be vaccinated, according to a new University of Texas, Texas Tribune poll. This comes as Governor Greg Abbott has banned vaccine requirements by all Texas entities, including private businesses and healthcare facilities, and mask mandates by local government and state agencies. A survey of 1,200 registered voters in Texas showed that 57% of voters support mask requirements in indoor public spaces based on local conditions, while 58% support mask requirements for students and staff in public schools. 40% oppose the requirements at indoor public places, and 39% oppose the requirements at schools. 54% of Texas voters also support allowing businesses to require employees to provide proof of vaccination or submit to frequent COVID-19 tests, compared to 43% who are opposed. Meanwhile, a slight plurality is opposed to the same requirements for customers. 47% support them, while 49% are against. Similarly, 54% of voters support and 43% oppose allowing public schools to require staff to either provide proof of vaccination or submit to frequent testing. Texas voters are nearly split on requiring students to adhere to the same measures. 49% opposed the idea, and 48% supported. Texans also leaned in favor of requiring vaccinations for admission to large events or activities, with polls showing that 40% of voters favor the vaccine passports, while 43% oppose them. Voters were fairly evenly split on whether they supported allowing government entities to require vaccines or COVID-19 tests for employees. Just 50% supported the requirements, while 46% opposed. Overall, there is a wide partisan divide on the issue of mandates. While Democrats surveyed overwhelmingly support them, there is still significant opposition among Republicans. As a whole, the state looks more in favor of mitigation efforts than the policy. But amongst the majority party, there's really not much appetite for many of these mitigation efforts, said Joshua Blank, research director at the Texas Politics Project. The governor is fighting multiple legal battles with local and federal officials over mask and vaccine mandates, including a federal challenge from the U.S. Department of Justice. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has filed a pair of lawsuits against the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccination requirements, including a challenge to the president's executive order requiring all federal contractors be vaccinated by December. Characterizing COVID-19. The poll also shows Texans are increasingly living normally as fewer continue to characterize the pandemic as a significant crisis. The survey showed that 42% of respondents and their families are returning to normal life and coming and going as usual, and only 14% of Texans say they are extremely concerned about the transmission of COVID-19 in their community. 3 out of 4 Democrats polled characterized the pandemic as a significant crisis compared to just 15% of Republicans, the lowest numbers since the start of the pandemic. Polls show that personal COVID-19 mitigation measures and perception of the virus consistently varies among Democrats and Republicans. People are continuing to sort of live with COVID in some ways, and so what you're seeing is less concern about the transmission because the behaviors of Texans are in a lot of ways moderated to their own views around the threat that they feel that they face, said Blank. This data comes as an increase in cases and hospitalizations this year from the Delta variant have slowed, and an estimated 70,000 Texans have died of COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic. Vaccinations. Polls show that 23% of Texas voters reported that their eligible children have already received a vaccination. In comparison, 29% of voters said they plan to vaccinate their children living in their household as soon as possible, while 8% are unsure. Children ages 5 to 11 became eligible for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine last week. Adolescent children ages 12 to 17 have been eligible for vaccination since May. 3/4 of respondents who say they plan to or have already vaccinated children are Democrats. Nearly half of the Republicans say they will not vaccinate their kids. According to the survey, 73% of Texas voters have been vaccinated or plan to be, while 20% of Texans reported they have no plans to get vaccinated. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled, Ignorance, Not COVID, is the Enemy, by Ruben Navarrete. In trying to avoid a jab in the arm, the anti-vaxxers have become a real pain in the neck. In the months since the COVID-19 vaccines became available, I've tried to be patient and understanding. This only gave the opposition time to dig in their heels. The country is now more divided by the cure than it ever was by the disease. Insufferable fools have become so full of themselves they probably worry a single needle stab would pop them like a balloon full of hot air. Last week, a federal appeals court put the brakes on a Biden administration vaccine mandate requiring all businesses with 100 or more employees to ensure by January 4th that their workforce is fully vaccinated or undergoes weekly testing for COVID-19. The second option is meant to persuade people of the sensibleness of the first, since in many cases, the costs for the tests fall on the employee. If you want to close your mind, you had better be ready to open your wallet. Speaking of closed minds, the elephant in the room is that most vaccine opposition is coming from Republicans. The resistance includes a handful of GOP governors who will likely seek their party's presidential nomination in 2024 and who seem to think that opposition to vaccine mandates is a winning issue. Public health be damned. Within 24 hours of the announcement of the Biden vaccine mandate, 26 states had sued to block it. Now we see one of the major problems baked into this country. Too many Americans want to have their cake and eat it too. It's as if someone sat down, Generation X and the millennials, those who are now between the ages of 25 and 56, and told them early on that the way to win the game of life was to enjoy all the benefits without incurring any of the costs. Want to be a police officer? Awesome. You'll get civil service protection so you can't be fired on a whim. Guaranteed raises thanks to a strong union, and a gold-plated pension when you retire. There's just one catch. You're going to need to roll up your sleeve. See, the job is to protect and serve, and you can't very well protect the public while running the risk of exposing them to a deadly virus that has already killed more than 750,000 Americans since March 2020. Some people want the perks of being a public sector employee, but not the poke. While there are still no national statistics showing the vaccination rates for America's first responders, individual police and fire departments across the country have reported figures far below the national rate of adults who have had at least one dose, which stands at 77%. In Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York City, police unions have opposed vaccine mandates. In Denver, police officers sued to block a vaccine mandate, but a judge struck down the challenge. You can see why this would be confusing to the public. Law enforcement is, after all, a profession that exists to ensure that the rest of us obey the rules, from trespassing laws and speed limits to prohibition against violent crimes. And here you have a big chunk of the individuals charged with enforcing the rules asking to be exempted from the rules. You've heard how doctors make the worst patients and how teachers are often the worst students. Here's another one. It turns out that authority figures sometimes have problems with authority. Who knew? As if that were not confusing enough, people are probably also scratching their heads over the fact that so many parents are fighting vaccine requirements at public schools. After all, for generations, it's been the case that parents can't even enroll their children for the first day of school without showing proof of immunization against a half dozen other diseases. What's the big deal about adding one more to the list? Our leaders have failed us again. Americans are hearing a lot these days about rights, but not enough about responsibilities that come with exercising them. We're so eager to assert the autonomy of the individual that we've lost sight of the price that one pays to belong to a community. This isn't liberty and freedom. This is selfishness and madness. And unfortunately, there are no shots for those ailments. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, November 10th. Edward Eugene Gene Schaefer. Edward Eugene Gene Schaefer was born in Nowata, Oklahoma on October 29, 1933 to Elsie Wilhite and William Franklin Schaefer. He died November 6, 2021 after a short stay in the hospital. Survivors include his wife, Margaret Peggy Schaefer of Midland, his daughter, Margaret Culbertson of Dallas, and granddaughter, Kaylee Latham Culbertson of Dallas. Gene is preceded in death by his parents of Sanger, Texas, his brother William Donald Schaefer of Santa Fe, New Mexico, his brother Gerald Max Schaefer of Richardson, Texas. At Gene's request, a private family graveside service will be held at Rest Haven Cemetery. Reverend Steve Shore of the First Presbyterian Church will officiate. Casual visitation for friends with the family will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday, November 10th at the Branch at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the First Presbyterian Church of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Johnny Robertson. Johnny Ross Robertson. Making Memories with and for Johnny Ross Robertson has ended on November 8, 2021. Johnny died peacefully after 40 years and 8 months of adventurous living in and around Midland. Born February 23, 1981, to Donald, Don, and Mary Long Robertson. He is preceded in death by his dad, Don, and grandparents and many close friends. He is survived by his mother, Mary, sister, Donna Robertson, his daughter, Savannah, and son, Andrew Robertson, one nephew, one niece, many uncles, aunts, cousins, and dear friends. A public viewing will be held from 1 to 9 p.m. Wednesday, November 10th at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. A graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, November 11th at Serenity Memorial Gardens. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests making a memorial donation to your favorite food pantry or favorite charity. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Isidro Natividad. Isidro Natividad, 61, of Midland, passed away November 9th. Viewing will be from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. Wednesday, November 10th, and from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday, November 11th, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, November 12th, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, November 10th, 2021. Local talent celebrates return to the stage. Permian Playhouse to present All Together Now by Michael Bauer. For the majority of last year and even parts of this year, local theaters all over have seen shows canceled due to the pandemic. Lately, however, those theaters, including the Permian Playhouse in Odessa, have returned to the stage. The Permian Playhouse will celebrate the return to productions with its upcoming show, All Together Now. The performances will take place at 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday at the Permian Playhouse. While the Permian Playhouse has had a few productions this year, this will be the first large event since the pandemic. The musical review will feature a wide selection of songs from Broadway shows including Annie, Rent, Les Miserables, Hairspray, Waitress, and more, performed by members of the community. It's featuring a lot of local talent, like some local students and some really familiar faces to the community, as well as some new faces, and basically it is a song cycle and concert of some of the greatest hits. The show will be directed by Odessawan Sherry Riley and Heather Valenzuela, and will be hosted by Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley, Gavin Norris, and Catherine Daniels. "They're well-known faces in the community," Wyndham said. "Sarah Kate and Catherine have been involved in theater in the past. Catherine is a past president, and both are well-known faces who are talented and bring a lot of excitement and joy to the stage. Permian Playhouse has recently had its performance of Wait Until Dark last month and will be doing It's a Wonderful Life next month. We are celebrating that we're all together in one place and that we're bringing back community theater and make it vibrant like it was before shutdown, Valenzuela said. Valenzuela said that there have been a lot of excitement from rehearsals this week in preparation for the shows. I think Monday night at rehearsal, you could feel it, Valenzuela said. Everyone was so glad to be back together and happy to be back to making music and glad to be back to being creative again. I think anything that we can do to really focus on what we are as a community after what we've been through is essential. All of us at rehearsal kept commenting that we were so glad to be back together. We have a different attitude about it. You take it for granted, but now we're all grateful to be back together and appreciate it more. The cast includes Scott Windham, Dawn Weeks, Sarah Lalestel, Heidi Jeffrey Taylor, Rosalind Miller. The cast includes Scott Windham, Dawn Weeks, Sarah Lalestel, Heidi Jeffrey Taylor, Rosalind Miller, David Clark, Lily Windham, Anna Windham, Hope Joyce, Albert Hall, Oscar Corral, Sam Weeks, Parker Leroy, Damian Christian, Trey Rolston, Sarah Flores, Michaela Greenier, and Albert Hall. We have some of our well-known students like Sam Weeks, Lily Windham, Anna Windham, Hope Windham, and some of the kids that have been in multiple shows like Annie to Schoolhouse Rock, Scott said. A lot of the shows that have been on the stage for the last 5 or 6 years, those people will be returning. After having to shut down for over 12 months because of the pandemic, Scott says it means a lot to see the Permian Playhouse and other local theaters return to the stage. It means after having to shut our doors for 18 months and not be able to have people in the theater, this is a celebration of the arts, Scott said. It's a celebration of the future of the theater and what has been accomplished and what needs to be accomplished. It's going to be an entertaining evening. I think this is a great opportunity for people to come out and enjoy the musical talents that we have out here in West Texas and the local theater in our community, Scott said. Community Leaders, Businesses Honored by Ruth Campbell. Founder of the Harlem Children's Zone, Jeffrey Canada, was the keynote speaker for this year's Odessa College Honors. An author, activist, and educator, Canada's Harlem Children's Zone works to move people out of intergenerational poverty, especially in Central Harlem. Held at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, the event honored educators, businesses, medical professionals, businesses, and nonprofits. It drew about 350 people. The Wood family and retired Odessa College Chief Financial Officer Virginia Chisholm were inducted into the Hall of Fame. CBS 7 anchor Jay Hendricks was the MC. Canada spoke to the media before the luncheon. He said he was thrilled to be in Odessa and spoke to educators and community leaders Monday evening. Something pretty extraordinary is happening at the college. I had a chance to really sit down and go over the data. What's happening, the success rates, the way they have changed up how they're teaching the classes, separating the semesters. It's really quite extraordinary. I think word needs to get out to the rest of the country. I think this answer is happening right here in Odessa College, and the rest of the country should be aware, Canada said. He added that this is a time nationwide that educators are under tremendous stress, not just from what has happened with COVID-19, but with the emotional toll. So many folks have suffered themselves, and our young people are as troubled as they've ever been, having gone through this experience. And so we need our educators. There was a time during this epidemic that we needed our doctors and our nurses. There was a time we needed our scientists to create vaccines. Now's the time we need educators to step up, help heal our children, and get them prepared for the next portion of their lives. The kids in this country, they're our future. They're in trouble. We need educators to really lean in right now. It's going to take a while to fix this problem, but I think we've got to be up to the task, Canada said. His advice to students is to take a deep breath. We've all been through something. This is historic. None of us have ever faced anything like this before, but you need to go in and redouble your efforts to focus, to pay attention, to do your work, to do your homework, and to support your peers, because lots of the other boys and girls are struggling with the same issues of having been out of school, out of contact with folks they care about, he said. Canada said that OC has done with its class and teaching structure is something educators nationwide can learn from. This idea of instead of teaching 4 classes in 16 weeks, you teach 2 classes in 8 weeks, this is pretty remarkable, and I think there's something there for the rest of the country to learn about when you look at the data. I'm very impressed, Canada said. Honorees included Lisa Winman, Outstanding Individual, Julie Marshall, Outstanding Educator, Dr. Rohith Saravana, Community Impact, Medical Center Health System, Outstanding Nonprofit, La Margarita, Outstanding Business, accepted by Trina Morales, the Wood Family Hall of Fame inductee, and Virginia Chisholm Hall of Fame inductee. Videos of each of the honorees were shown. Morales, who will celebrate the 30th anniversary of La Margarita in January 2022, talked about her hard work and that she is going to be there when people need her. She said she recommends OC. I think it's the best place to stay if you want to do something, Morales said. Marshall, a longtime educator who has served in many roles in Ector County ISD, is now principal at Dowling Elementary School. I'm honored that OC chose to honor me and the work that I've done in the community, Marshall said. I appreciate all the work that OC does to help all of the kids in our community have an opportunity to have a college education. I was really surprised because there are many more deserving people than me. So, yes, I'm very honored, Marshall added. Russell Tippin, MCH President and CEO, and Sarah Vanna, Chief Medical Officer for Odessa Regional Medical Center and Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Springs, started their jobs about the same time, just before the August 2019 mass shooting and COVID-19 hit. Tippin said the number one asset for MCH is its employees, its doctors, its nurses, housekeepers, and kitchen workers. Tippin said everyone has been a hero through all this. He urged people to appreciate every second of every hour of every day because nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Sex Assault Team Established. Volunteer group required by new state law by OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County Commissioners Tuesday ascended to District Attorney Dusty Gallivan's request and approved the creation of an adult sexual assault case team and the appointment of its 7 members. First Assistant DA Greg Barber and Assistant DA Melissa Rainey, who prosecute 6 cases, said before the 10 a.m. meeting that the initiative was in defense to a new state law and that all of the team members had agreed to serve on a volunteer basis. They are Lori Dunham and Zelia Hidalgo, Executive Director and Counselor at the Crisis Center of West Texas; Brad Klein, a sergeant in the Crimes Against Persons Division at the Odessa Police Department; Sheriff's Investigator Jody Alvarado; Lisa Montoya, Coordinator of the Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner Zane Program at Medical Center Hospital; David Graham, MCH Divisional Director of Emergency Trauma and SANE Services; and Rainey. Barber and Rainey said the program was required by Senate Bill 476, which was sponsored by Republican Senator Jane Nelson of Flower Mound, Louise Colkhurst of Katy, and Lynn Stuckey of Denton. It went into effect September 1st. In other business, the commissioners voted 3-2 to donate $49,038 to the Odessa Council for the Arts and Humanities to help study the need for a new library. Joined by Precinct 4 Commissioner Armando Rodriguez, Precinct 1 Commissioner Mike Gardner voted no. He said, because it is uncertain if a new library will be built and the money will be wasted if it isn't. Council Executive Director Randy Hamm said he won't begin raising money for the project until it becomes more definite and he is able to answer all the questions of prospective donors. It will take the entire community to do this, said Hamm, who is chairing the study committee. The court accepted the bylaws of the Library Advisory Board and expanded the panel by naming Felice Abalos, Kelly Wilkes, and Tisha Muhammad additional members of it. The commissioners authorized a geotechnical investigation by the Landgraf Crutcher Associates Engineering Company for the 64-bed, $225 million juvenile detention center that is being planned next to the jail just south of town off U.S. 385. County Maintenance Director Charles Pierce said construction will start next summer and take about a year. The commissioners also reappointed Precinct 2 Commissioner Greg Simmons to represent the court on the appraisal board, approved the installation of ice shields on the radio towers at No Trees in Pinwell, and the repair of antenna lines at the county jail and the Pinwell Tower. okayed the purchase of a foreign objects debris sweeper for the Odessa Airport Schlemmer Field, and finally approved leasing a mobile clinic for the health department. Quick hits. Midland Chamber event is today. The project Pour Sous Salud continues with a conference today at the Midland Downtown Library for Midland Chamber of Commerce members. The first conference in Spanish is scheduled 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. and the second conference in English from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Speakers include Dr. Genesis Perez Del Nogal and Dr. Prince Ernest and Claudia Kelso. Also, a date is being confirmed for the last conference of this year, which will talk about diabetes. This will be a Zoom conference by Dr. Pedro Rojas. Veterans Week of Events. The University of Texas Permian Basin, 4901 East University Boulevard, will celebrate and honor veterans Monday through Thursday. Today, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Veterans Health Fair and Pro Bono Legal Clinic at the D. Kirk Edwards Family Humane Performance Building. Thursday, 9:30 a.m., Veterans Day Ceremony at the UTPB Gym. State of Education Signature Luncheon. The Midland Chamber of Commerce and Pioneer Natural Resources Company has scheduled 2021 State of Education Signature Luncheon with keynote speaker Angelica Ramsey, Superintendent Midland ISD, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. The luncheon is hosted to engage and inform the public about the challenges and opportunities facing the public and private schools, as well as colleges and universities. Registration is required. Sponsorships are available. Live tour, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 Midland, has scheduled Blue October at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For tickets or more information, visit wagnernoel.com. Veterans Campaigns. Bubba's 33 will be hosting a fundraising campaign for veterans in partnership with the Medical Center Health System Foundation. Today, 10% of all total food and non-alcoholic purchases at their Odessa location will be donated to assist veterans at Medical Center Health System. Customers also have the option to donate additional funds when paying their bill. The money raised will fund vital treatments, equipment, charitable care, and other necessities for veterans who receive medical care while at MCHS. Corporal Ray's Coffee will host a fundraising campaign for veterans in partnership with the Medical Center Health System Foundation on Veterans Day, Thursday. 10% of all coffee purchases at their Fodre location will be donated to assist veterans at Medical Center Health System. Customers also have the option to donate additional funds at the register, a news release said. This is the first year the MCHS Foundation will hold a campaign benefiting veterans at MCHS. Visit mchodessa.com. Free trees. Keep Odessa Beautiful is currently giving away free native trees. Plant a tree for hope. Trees are limited. You must register to receive the link to the tree webinar for a free tree. Once you have registered, KOB will provide you with the webinar link, and after completing the webinar, they will contact you with a date and time to pick up your tree. Trees vary from desert willow, rough leaf dogwood, yupon, Chinese pistachio, sugarberry, cedar elm, honey locust, Texas mountain laurel, Eve's necklace, and Aurora sweetwood. To register, go to tinyurl.com/67skuvj5. For more information, call 432-335-4686 or visit keepodessabeautiful.org. Vets Meal Voucher Distribution. Texas Roadhouse will continue to honor veterans and active military this Veterans Day. Between 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday, restaurants will distribute meal vouchers in the parking lot, valid through May 30, 2022. Proof of service includes military or VA cards or discharge papers. Vouchers can be redeemed for one of the 10 entrees, including a 6-ounce sirloin and 2 made-from-scratch sides, plus a choice of any Coca-Cola product, sweet tea, iced tea, or coffee. The event is drive-through only, but vouchers can be redeemed when the restaurant opens for dinner. Restaurant locations are 4221 Grandview Avenue in Odessa and 4512 West Loop 250 North in Midland. Free Vets Day Lunch. Bubba's 33 in Odessa and Midland has scheduled its annual Veterans Day tradition of welcoming veterans and active U.S. military to enjoy free lunch from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday. All veterans, including active, retired, or former U.S. military, can choose one of 6 entrees, including a classic cheeseburger, Bubba's bacon burger, bacon chicken mac and cheese, grilled chicken salad, chicken tender salad, or any 12-inch pizza, plus a choice of any Coca-Cola product, sweet tea, iced tea, or coffee during lunch. For veterans and active military unable to attend this year's event, the restaurant will distribute rain check vouchers good through May 30, 2022. Veterans and active military can pick up a rain check in Bubba's 33 parking lot tent. Proof of service includes military or VA card or discharge papers. Bubba's 33 is located at 6153 East Highway 191 in Odessa and at 3315 West Loop 250 North in Midland. Virtual Online Red Kettle Challenge Launching by OA News at OAOA.com. Christmas is fast approaching and shoppers will soon be greeted by the familiar sound of the Salvation Army bells ringing at stores around Odessa. People can set up their own virtual fundraisers and be part of the Red Kettle Challenge without even leaving their homes. The Red Kettle Challenge provides a new online option to the traditional red kettles that raise funds supporting those in need. You will still see friendly bell ringers and red kettles at area storefronts and retailers, Major Luis Melendez of the Salvation Army said in a news release. However, the Red Kettle Challenge makes it easy for people to set up their own virtual kettles from the comfort of their own homes. You set up your fundraising goal, share the link to your kettle with friends, family, and work colleagues, and challenge them to donate. This year has been difficult for many in our community, and you can be part of making a difference to ensure the Salvation Army has the necessary funds to help all year long. Less people are carrying cash and visiting the mall and stores these days. A virtual kettle provides a great way for people to show their support for the Salvation Army without having to leave the house, Melinda said in the release. Every dollar raised through the Red Kettle campaign makes it possible for us to provide shelter. Challenge your friends, family, and coworkers to support your online kettle and provide help and hope for right here in Odessa. Salvation Army Red Kettles will again be stationed outside of local stores and businesses Monday through Saturday from mid-November until Christmas Eve. All bell ringers will be equipped with personal protective equipment again this Christmas season, ensuring the safety of donors and shoppers along with our volunteers, said Melinda's. With more families and individuals coming to us for help than ever before, please don't forget to give to the Salvation Army Red Kettles this season. The 2020 Salvation Army in Odessa raised a little more than $50,000 in kettles. This year's goal is $55,000. Volunteers are critical to the success of the Red Kettle campaign throughout November and December. It's easier than ever before for individuals, families, groups, and businesses to sign up this year. You can select the location, day, and time you would like to ring when you visit www.registertoring.com. We hope to see you at the kettle. Obituaries: Philip Wade Halterman, Aubrey, Texas. Philip Wade Halterman, age 20, passed away on Sunday, November 7, 2021, in Roscoe, Texas. He was born on June 1, 2001, in Odessa, Texas, to Garen Halterman and Courtney Phillips. Wade is survived by his father, Garen Halterman, and wife, Carol of Kermit, Texas, mother, Courtney Orr, and husband, Justin of Odessa, Texas, grandparents, Dolly Almond of Kermit, Texas, Jack and Dee Huffman of Portland, Arkansas, Texas, Jean and Deborah Boho of Kermit, and Teresa Orr of West Texas, brothers, Thomas Halterman of Canyon, Dakota Weaver, Zachary Alexander, and Dawson Alexander, all of Kermit, sisters Cambry Sanchez and husband Rudy, Carson Halterman of Odessa, Carly Halterman of Pearland, Tony Halterman of Wheeler, and Bailey Alexander of Kermit. Many aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews. He was preceded in death by his grandfather, Woody Phillips, and Johnny Allman, and great-uncle, Willis Wilhite. Family visitation will be held from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, November 9, 2021, and 4 p.m. 8 p.m. on Wednesday, November 10th. At Family Services Funeral Parlor in Kermit. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, November 11th at the Wink High School Football Stadium in Wink. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation in Lubbock, Texas, in memory of Wade Halterman. Arrangements are entrusted to the Family Service Funeral Parlor, and condolences may be sent to the family online. Lorraine Frances Bona Hedgepeth, Odessa. Lorraine Frances Bona Hedgepeth went home to be with her Lord on October 12th. She was born on October 10th, 1930, to Joseph and Elizabeth Moga Bona in New Brighton, Mississippi. She was preceded in death by her parents, Joseph and Elizabeth Bona, husband Coy D. Hedgepeth, daughter Roxanne Mary Hedgepeth, her sisters Clara, Vera, Emily, Leona, Genevieve, Dorothy, and Esther, her brothers Harold, Sigmund, Dominic, Andrew, Joseph, and Edward Bona, and great-granddaughter Avery Holman. Those left to cherish her memories are her daughter Brenda Holman and husband Dale of Odessa, sons David Hedgepeth and wife Kelly of Irver Heights, Minnesota, Keith Hedgepeth and wife Wendy of Natalia, Texas, 9 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. Memorial service will be 11 a.m. Friday, November 12, 2021 at Acres West Funeral Chapel, officiated by Jimmy Dennis. Death notices. Leroy Lewis Bud Brown, Pittsboro, North Carolina. Leroy Lewis Bud Brown, 91, of Pittsboro, North Carolina, died Friday, November 5th, 2021 in Pittsboro. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. on Wednesday, November 10th at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church in Pittsboro. Interment will be held privately at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. A memorial graveside service will be held in Odessa at a later date. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson, Funeral Directors of Odessa. Imelda Huerta Gutierrez, Odessa, Imelda Huerta Gutierrez, 49, of Odessa, died Saturday, November 6th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.